Thank you. It was a little dark up here. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So there's a story of a little boy that was in a community, and his father served as the minister. And he was outside playing, and he was doing all the, you know, things little boys do. He was climbing trees and playing in the mud and swinging and jumping and rolling with the dog. And his mother called him in for dinner, and the family gathered at the table. And the mother, like mothers do, said, "Young man, let me see your hands." And he takes his hands and he wipes them on his clothes, and he goes, and she goes, "Son, how many times do I have to tell you that you have to wash your hands before you eat? When your hands are dirty, they all have germs and you could get sick. And so after the blessing, I want you to go and wash your hands." And so they all bow their heads in prayer. And after the prayer, he gets up and he storms off to the kitchen. And before he gets into the kitchen door, he turns around and he looks at his mother and he says, "Jesus and germs, Jesus and germs. That's all I get around here, and I haven't seen either of them." We live in a day and an age where the prevailing philosophy of the day is that in order to see something, in order to believe something, you gotta see it. In 1859, Charles Darwin, he wrote and published The Origin of Species, and the Christian church has been having to deal with that since then. The authority of the church was fundamentally called into question when he suggested that everything evolved rather than was created by a God who made everything exactly the way that it should be. Now in a positive way, we have made huge leaps and bounds in biblical scholarship since that time because of him, actually, that the Bible is now looked at differently, and what we know about the Bible today far is superior than what we knew 200 years ago. But there's another response that happened to Darwin, and it was fear. It was fear of doubt. 50 years after Darwin published in 1910, a group of theologians and pastors got together and they made pamphlets that described the absolute core of the Christian faith that could not ever be questioned. And those pamphlets were called the Fundamentals. It's where we get the word fundamentalist from now today. It comes from those pamphlets. And some of the things that could not be questioned were the inerrancy of Scripture, the virgin birth, and the resurrection of Jesus. See, the world became about certainties with Darwin, and the church followed suit, and doubt became heresy. And see, it comes from the mistaken notion that if we see it, then we will believe it because we have concrete evidence, our sight, of our experience. But friends, that's not true for all of us. Because it wasn't true for the disciples who met with Jesus after the resurrection. In our gospel reading today, it says, "When the disciples saw Jesus, they all worshiped him, and some doubted." They saw Jesus in front of them. They heard his voice. They worshiped him in their presence. And some doubted. Every year in the Revised Common Lectionary, on this Sunday, do you all know the scripture that's read? Nobody's noticed? Every year, what is it, Laura? That's right, it's Doubting Thomas. It is no mistake that on the Sunday after the resurrection of Jesus, there's always scripture about doubt. And even in this new lectionary cycle we're doing, the narrative lectionary, we get doubt. It's important that we talk about it. See, doubt played into the lives of the original disciples, and the New Testament writers thought that it was important enough that in every gospel, after Jesus is resurrected, doubt is mentioned. In fact, the Bible is chock full of saints who doubted. Abraham and Sarah doubted God's promise of a child. They even laughed at God. Job doubted that God was good. Moses doubted that God would use him. Gideon doubted and doubted and doubted and had to see the miracle over and over before he finally stopped doubting. Thomas doubts God that he has to touch the holes in Jesus' hand inside. And today, the disciples who worship Jesus and they see him to his face, they doubt. See, we often think that doubt is incompatible with faith. But friends, doubt is a part of being faithful. See, theologian Paul Tillich, he says, doubt is not the opposite of faith, it's a necessary element of it. See, we can use doubt as a stepping stone in our spiritual journey, just like the saints in Scripture did. It doesn't have to be the end of the journey. Spiritual writer Anne Lamott, she says, the opposite of faith is not doubt. The opposite of faith is certainty. And certainty is missing the point entirely. Faith includes noticing the mess, the emptiness, the discomfort, and letting it be there until some light returns. Doubt can make your faith stronger if you let it, because it causes you to think about it, to dwell in the unknown, and doubt can lead to even deeper trust. Richard Rohr, he tells us, people of great faith often suffer bouts of great doubt because they continue to grow. Mother Teresa experienced decades of great doubt, as a widely reported after her death. And he says, the very fact that the media and people in general were surprised by her experience demonstrates our very limited understanding of faith. See, the world doesn't understand faith because our modern philosophy tells us that if we see it, we believe it. But friends, just like the disciples, now, right in front of us, we see God's work and we doubt. Richard Rohr says, faith is living between first base and second base, where you're not sure you'll make it to second. You let go of one thing and you haven't yet latched onto another. Most of us choose the security of first base. Yet faith happens in the in-between, the interruptions, the thresholds. If you prefer a different analogy, faith is what helps us live between the trapezes. Friend, and don't be afraid to take your doubt to God. See, a foundational message in the book of Job is that you can say anything to God. You can throw at God your anger and your pain and your grief and your bitterness and your betrayal and your disappointment and your doubt. God can absorb them all. See, the real issue isn't doubt, but what we do with it. Even with the doubt of the disciples, Jesus sends them out to proclaim the good news, to tell the story of the life and the death and the resurrection, to preach freedom to all the earth. Even with doubt, the disciples are told to go and make other disciples. Jesus knew, and those disciples might have doubt too. See, we tell the good news of Jesus just as we are, with who we are, with our deep faithfulness and our doubt. God uses us just as we are for God's glory. Faith is wrestling with this. Faith is being in community, knowing the direction that we're headed, but we may be unsure along the way. So, friends, may you not be afraid of doubt. You're in good company with the saints of Scripture. May you know that Jesus can handle it, and may you still tell the good news to all the earth. Amen.